Acts chapter 18 and verse number 1. I've enjoyed this series. This has been good for me, and I hope it's been a blessing. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, so many good things to be learned here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts. Again, we pray, as we've prayed all year, Lord, that these messages would strengthen our families, and also, Lord, strengthen our marriages, dear God, and protect us, Lord, protect the couples in our church. And thank you for these Bible examples, some that we've studied, very positive examples, some just a few very negative, but in most cases, honestly, a mixed bag. I think they just represent who we are. None of us is perfect. None of us get it right all the time. But Lord, thank you for people that just keep their vows and stay together and, Lord, work things out and decide that they're going to, Lord, live their lives to bring glory and honor to you. Strengthen that idea even tonight with our message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is my second favorite couple in the Bible, Joseph and Mary. I think I told you that is my favorite. Aquila and Priscilla places second. Why, preacher? Well, I think they are a prototype of the saintly serving lay couples of the New Testament age. There's no evidence that Aquila was ever called to preach, yet he and his wife attached themselves to a man of God by the name of Paul, and they gave their lives to serve beside him for the kingdom of God. And because of this, God rewarded them by placing their names 6 times in 4 different books of the New Testament. How about that? They served the Lord as a team. As a team. Now, what's that mean? That means when you find Aquila's name in the Bible, you'll find Priscilla's name. And where you find Priscilla's name, there's Aquila's. Matter of fact, they were so tight that their names actually rhyme. I mean, I got to thinking about this, and I got thinking, you know, when I wrote the advice that I wrote in my courtship book, maybe I missed a Bible principle. Maybe you need to just look, gentlemen, for the name of a girl that rhymes with your name. And that might be a sign, a biblical confirmation to the idea. Are you thinking about this, Samuel? You got anything? You got any girl's name that rhymes? Anybody help me here? Samuel. And if you can't come up with it, do what Aquila did. Just put P in front of your name, okay? Okay? Pamuel, all right? Pamuel. So keep your antennas open. Aponathan. You marry Aponathan, okay? How about Pax? You can marry a Pax. The only problem with that theory is sooner or later I got to get down to Luke. And as I was going through the front row in my office, I thought, this is not working out the way. Please don't marry a girl named Puke, okay? Don't. I don't think that's God's will no matter what it is, so. Amen. I wondered if their names were rhyming at the beginning, because don't they say the older you get, the more you start becoming like each other? And maybe, you know, it was like Max and Cindy when they started, and then, I don't know. Back to the Bible. Let's get back into the Bible. But they served the Lord as a team. I mean, this was, by the way, let's say this. This was not the case of a husband who dared to go above and beyond in service to God while a wife sat home bitterly resenting his involvement. Neither was this an example of a woman who sacrifices and serves her church and her Lord while her husband sits and stews at home. It's just nice when you get two people married together, both loving God, both saying, you know what, there's something bigger than us. there is a cause. There is something worth giving your life to. And that's awfully sweet. That's a good thing for us to ponder. They decided that God had called them to be servants together, serving the Lord, serving God's man, serving the people of their local assembly. I mean, just a prototype couple. Now, I want to say this because I need to say it. For the 44-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God's given us our Aquila and Priscilla couples. And they're all over this auditorium tonight. And I mean that. And let's recognize it. By the way, let's thank the Lord for it. Okay, I mean, I'm talking about people that were both together. They're here together. They're both into it together. They're both involved. They're both serving. They're both faithful. They're both sold out. They're both dedicated to the work of God. And if you go back through the history of our church, you know, God gave those couples, those kind of couples, to our church right from the very beginning. I mean, within the first few weeks, God brought those people. And God's given them young people as an example to you. Okay, your wish ought not to be to marry somebody that's going to take you out of the will of God, or to find somebody and marry and already have it settled in your mind. Well, we'll come on Sunday mornings, but you know what? We're just not going to be fanatics about this. Every single church needs the Aquila and Priscilla type couples, people that just get it. They're loyal to each other. They're loyal to the Savior. They're loyal to their pastor. They're loyal to their church. And they become pillars of the church, staying together and praying together and loving each other and loving God and loving their church. And thank you for those of you that represent the Aquila and Priscillas here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, and preacher, you said that's your second favorite couple in the Bible. You got to have some good Bible reasons. Yep, and that's going to turn into our outline tonight, all right? Let me sell you on that idea. Here we go, number one. Let me just say this. I like this couple because they worked a job. I'm not going to just pass over this. They worked a job. You know, the people that are able to be the pillars of the church, that undergird the church and to hold up the church, thank God. And by the way, I can say this freely and throw stones if you want to, but listen, we run buses. We don't have anything to prove. We go after people of all classes. We don't have anything to prove. Jesus died for everybody, amen. But folks, listen to me, in case you don't know this, if we were to somehow find a way to subdivide the offering from last Sunday, the bus kids aren't bringing the money in. And in every single church, there has to be a man that says, you know what, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to support my local assembly with tithes and offerings and I'm going to give to missions. And when we have special giving opportunities, I'm going to be in a position to be able to help with that. And thank God for those type of people. And we see this in our opening verses. Now, I want to teach you young men something again, something you've heard before. But let's look back at this. They found a certain Jew named Aquila, verse 2, born in Pontus, lately coming from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and they came unto him. And because he was of the same, now here's the word, here's the Bible word, C-R-A-F-T, Bible of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. I want to continue to blow this horn. I think it's a Bible principle. I think it's a way to be like Jesus. You know, when Jesus was in the ministry, some of those that knew him from before said, is this not the carpenter? Can I say this? Before Jesus was a preacher, he was a carpenter. You know what? His daddy was a carpenter. The Jews to this day will make this statement. This is a common saying amongst the Jews. If you raise a young man who does not have a trade, you raise a thief. And you know what? America would be so much stronger today if we would, instead of involving our young men all during their teenage years into being, you know, little hometown heroes, and let's run them to all the sports things, and let's get their uniform, and let's give them an unrealistic idea of what life is going to be like. If we would enlist our young men and get them in apprenticeships and get them, first of all, you got to learn the work ethic. Don't ask anybody to give you an apprenticeship to any trade until you first learn just to work. Okay, so work. And by the way, Aquila had a good daddy. I don't know who he is, but he had a good daddy because that boy could work. And he also was taught a skill so that even though they had been displaced and had to move, not of their own accord, wherever they landed, they had a trade that they could fall back on. Listen, you may learn a trade in your teenage years, and it doesn't mean that that's necessarily the thing that you'll spend your entire life doing. But it'll always give you something to fall back on if you get laid off or if hard times hit. And so thank God for Aquila and the importance of learning a skilled trade. He did it. And I want to say a word about the preacher here. You know what? We think about Paul and we read about his background and we know a lot about his religious affiliation and position and his religious pedigree. But you know what? Isn't it interesting that Paul also was raised with the same trade? That's why he hooked up with them. And so again, before Paul became a preacher, me and Brother Reiser had this discussion here just about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about his support. And of course, we understand that the support is provided by many sister churches as a runway to help get the plane off the ground, you know. And I told him, you know, it's going to last for 2 or 3 years, and so take advantage of it as long as you can. And there's no guarantee that he'll be able to go full time, supported by his church in that time frame. But I brought it up to him, and I said, well, have you thought about it? And he said, preacher, don't even worry about that. He said, the opportunities down here in Princeton are wide open. If I needed to fall back on my floor lane skills, then he said, I could honestly work a couple days a week and just about make what's coming in anyway. Are you young men listening to me? Are young men listening to me? Okay. I'm glad that God called Jonathan Reiser to preach. But I'm also glad that he was wise enough to get a trade skill. Okay. And sometimes I don't want to get off on this, but I'm wondering how many young men are running to ministry just because they're too lazy to work. Now, if you're called to ministry, then go to ministry. But it'd be good for you to learn a work ethic in your team. I don't care if God called you to preach when you were 9 years old. Go put up some hay. Go detassel some corn. Get with some of the men in our church. You don't know what circumstance you're going to find yourself in one of these days. And everybody ought to have something that they can fall back on, something that they can do. God, you know what? The Lord shouldn't be going, and doesn't go, by the way, to the welfare line to find young men to call into the ministry. He does not. Okay? You know what? Jesus may have called some guys that we would look at as scoundrels to be his 12 disciples, but all of them were gainfully employed. Okay? And so it's good for us to hit that button. I know sometimes some of our men are in between jobs for a while. And by the way, I was talking to Kyle the other day, and he's desperately looking, has been working hard at it. And I'm not saying this to slight anybody that's in that situation. But I am saying this, folks, listen to me. And I said this to Kyle. You know what? This is the United States of America. The honest truth is sometimes we maybe humble ourselves a little bit. But there's jobs out there if you're willing to work. And you know what? Get out there and work. But you young men, I mean this. Don't take your teenage years and I mean, Brother Chad's out there building a house. And I'm going to tell you something. If he didn't offer me a dime and I was a young man and I didn't know anything about building, I'd be out there as volunteer. And you know what I would get paid? Knowledge. I told him this the other day. When we were building, by the way, listen to what I'm going to say. I didn't mean to go this long, but man, I'm just feeling the spirit right now, amen. The building you're standing in, let me start here. The building you're standing in right now, as a young man, I showed up every work day and carried and handed. Listen, they wouldn't let me do much because I would have destroyed everything. But I worked by men that knew what they were doing. And I was there every day. And a lot of the things I learned later on in life that I've used to my advantage, to my financial advantage, I learned on church work days. When we built that church work day, that building right out there, and I'm not mean enough to call the names, but I feel like it sometimes. We had a group of teenage boys that hardly ever showed up. Now, some of them did, but there was a lot of names I could call that did. And they're hiding behind mama's skirts. And mamas are making excuses for them. and they missed an opportunity. By the way, the same ones that dodged the opportunity to come over here as a teenager are out of church today. Same ones. Don't tell me this character thing isn't connected to spirituality and to the Christian life. You ain't got the character to show up and sweat a little bit. You're not going to serve God. And please do not surrender to the ministry. All right? America don't need another lazy preacher. Don't do it. All right? Okay, I'm done. And amen. I don't want to rush past. There's one other point that I think is merits a miracle of God, Brother Chuck. These are some of the most outstanding Christians, even despite the fact that they spent some time in Italy. And to think that God could use Italians, you know. And I thought, I studied deeper and found out they were born in Pontus, and then they were lately come from Italy, which is always a good place to come from, all right? And I guess the Bible's still true. They weren't from Italy. They just spent some time there and then came and then got saved. Amen. And so, anyway, did I tell you I was going to get him? Who did I tell that I was going to get him? Did I tell you I was going to get him? Who did I tell? I told you I was going to get Chuck tonight, didn't I? All right. Number one, they worked a job. J-O-B, job. Amen. I made somebody mad again, I'm telling you. Number two, they became part of Paul's missionary team. Jump down to verse 18 and 19. They became part of Paul's missionary team. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Samaria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And you know what? They served beside Paul. There in Corinth. Now think about that. Remember later on when we get a book written back to Corinth? Aquila and Priscilla had a little part in that, you know. I don't know if they were saved. I'll be honest. I read these first couple verses carefully. It doesn't say that Paul won them to the Lord. It says that there was an association gained there because of they both had the same craft, and Paul needed to make some money. So he worked, and then he preached on the Sabbath days in the synagogue. And it doesn't really say. Maybe they were saved when they came. But I suspect, honestly, that Paul won them to the Lord. But I can't say that 100%. But it is worth us bringing out this. Man alive, what a mission field you have in your workplace. I mean that, folks. You ought to look at wherever God's given you a job, you ought to look at that as your mission field. And so there's always opportunity there to witness. And I think Paul hooked up with them there. I think Paul, I honestly feel like that he probably led him to the Lord. But then after they were there working in Corinth with him, we see in verse number 18 that after a good while, then when he took leave of the brethren, they said, hey, we're going with you. And they become part of his Paul's missionary team. Now, let me ask you a question. This is good. I won't belabor this point. But are you a part of your pastor's missionary team? Are you part of Pastor Jerry Ross's missionaries team? I mean, God blessed this church couple who gave of their time and their life to help Paul get one church started. And you know what they said? Man, this is so much fun. You're not leaving us here. And how could you use some help? I wonder how many church planters would like to answer a loud yes on that one. Could you just use a couple that would come with you? And you think about that. And that's what they did. They jumped on board. And you know what? They not only got saved, but they decided that winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ was worth more than just casual effort. And they became part of a missionary team. Folks, every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be involved in some ministry from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, outreaching the lost every single week. Okay? Bob Hamlin sat right there. By the way, continue to pray for Brother Bob. He did get sent home. He's doing some better. But he's still struggling to the point where his weakness, according to his daughter's text, was sometimes after saying two or three sentences, he's just exhausted. So obviously he can't have visitors, but in better health, he sat right there. And he leaned over to me and he said, hey, how many people you think a week are out visiting from Blessed Hope Baptist Church? And I couldn't even guess. Maybe that's terrible on me. I kind of tried to think. I said, let me think a minute here. I don't know. And I said this. I know this. I could give you this answer. Not enough. Not enough. But he leaned over and he said, I'll tell you what, preacher, let me tell you something. He said, if you ever get to the point at this church where you can get 100 people from this church, and he said this church could do it, to just give 2 hours a week out knocking on doors and talking to people, inviting people to church, he said this church would explode. And you know what? I think he's right. I think he's right. You know, the Bible says, preacher, wait a minute, though. You don't have no guarantee of that. Some plant, some water, some give the increase. Well, let's take a look at that verse. I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you very much, all right? Yeah, some plant. Isn't it a shame that verse couldn't say all planted? All planted, some plant, some water. God gives the increase. Well, it's getting to be, Brother Josh, harvest time before we know it. Corn's starting to change color from the ground up. And pretty soon they're going to be out there. And if I went and talked to Brother Josh and said, what do you expect? And he said, I think we're going to have more off that farm than we ever had. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, now I didn't plant but about 50 seeds, but I've just got faith. I decided my dad was working too hard. He was doing it wrong. So I left most of the fields empty and I went out and planted 50 seeds. But I think we're going to have the best harvest ever. I think we got faith in God because some plant, some water. But God gives the, you know, stop blaming God. Stop using that verse. I hear preacher after preacher sitting around in churches blaming God, Christian after Christian blaming God, using that verse. That's to blame God as if, well, you know, the Bible says some plant, some water, God gets an increase, as if it's his fault that we don't have an increase. Well, I think a little common sense, I think that was written so farmers could understand it and country people could understand it. And the honest truth is, folks, listen, if last spring you just planted two seeds of sweet corn, I'm going to guesstimate that you're not going to have 100 ears of corn coming out of your garden. That's called country common sense. And don't tell me that God doesn't look down and say, yes, I'll give the increase, but you know what? You need to plant. You plant so that there can be a big increase. Now, think about it. Let's just take that idea. And we got it. What if we just settled it tonight? And we could have 100 people say, you know what? God gave me 168 hours every week of my life. 168. And I think I can find two preachers that go out there and try to win somebody to Christ or at least invite somebody to church. Amen. And let's just suppose we could do that. And let's say in those 2 hours we were able to, and you'll easily be able to invite at least 10 people to church in 2 hours. You will. Okay? And so we've got 100 people inviting 10 people to church at least every week. Now, 100 times 10 is, good job, all right, good, 1,000. And so we've got 1,000 people that have been invited to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just suspect that if that happened every week, we'd have visitors every single week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, folks, listen to me. You want to see the church grow? Want to see more people saved? Yeah, and I figured out all the reasons it's not. Well, go like this and feel your knuckles. And you found the reason. Okay, I think right now, I did do a little figure, and I think right now we've probably got about 30, 35 people that, I mean, faithfully, weekly, are out doing some type of visitation. You know, that I'm talking about going after lost people. I'm all for shut-in visitation. I'm talking about going after lost people here. Talking about doing the Great Commission. Well, let me tell you what Aquila and Priscilla did. And let me tell you what multitudes of other couples in the history of this church has done. You know what? Part of the obligation, part of the responsibility of going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church is to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and get involved in some of the soul-winning programs here. And you know what? Aquila and Priscilla, they were fantastic, prototype, saintly, serving, and soul-winning Christians. So let the Lord speak to your heart about that. Number three, how about this? They were grounded in the Word of God. They were grounded in the Word of God. Look at the closing verses in this chapter, chapter number 18, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Here's a young man that, by the way, we can study some things. Did you notice some things here? Apollos was unusually gifted. The Bible says he was mighty in the scriptures. He wasn't a novice. He had spent some time studying. The Bible says that this man, verse 25, was instructed in the way of the Lord. We're talking about a man that had been discipled and taught and you know what, had developed his God-given gifts and was causing a stir and making an impact for the Lord. But his doctrine was incomplete. He needed to be brought up to snuff on some things. And we have here a couple in the church that hears him preach. And I got to thinking about this. I would have loved to listen to the conversation, the interaction. It takes a lot of wisdom, you think, as a couple in the church. Here, this guy obviously already has a reputation. He's already traveling. He's already being used of the Lord. And I thought, with what wisdom Aquila and Priscilla must have approached him and said to him, maybe very humbly and sweetly, but at the same time, are you aware of this and are you aware of that? I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. Could you come to dinner with us? And the Bible that said they just simply expounded the way of the Lord more perfectly, which means they brought him to a more of a complete understanding. So even though he had been well schooled, and I've run into preachers like that, I've run into preachers that honestly, sincere as I am, and have studied and know the scriptures, but you know what? There's a doctrine that they have not had a complete and proper teaching on. And a lot of times, the easiest thing for us to do is condemn them. But maybe before we condemn them, we should say, hey, could we go out to dinner? Especially if it's somebody that's fairly new in the ministry. And could I expound the way of the Lord's more perfectly in this one area? And by the way, I don't want you to believe what I believe. Let's both believe what the Bible says. And are you teachable? And would you change your opinion about something if I could show you in the scripture? And by the way, all of us ought to be willing to do that. I don't care if I've pastored 5 minutes or 50 years. If the Bible teaches something that I've been a little off on and it can be clearly studied out and shown, we all ought to be willing to grow and to change and to understand what God's saying here. But you know what? They couldn't have helped him if they weren't grounded in the scriptures. Let me say this. You know why? One of the reasons they were grounded in the scriptures? Because they attached themselves to a guy by the name of Apostle Paul. And you know what? He was a Bible preacher. And so many of the couples in this church are in the business every single week of doing the very thing I'm talking about. You know, on your bus routes, it's not just about getting kids to come on the bus. And by the way, praise the Lord, getting them saved. And praise the Lord, let's get them baptized. But our job doesn't end there, it just begins. We all have a discipleship responsibility to bring along those new converts that we've won to Christ and also those that are being trained into full-time service to make sure that they're properly educated so that they can see the Lord use them to the fullest extent. Because it is interesting, I'm not exactly sure, and I think I got a pretty good grip, but I don't have the time, honestly, to cover it tonight. But, you know, I don't think he needed an overhaul. I think he needed tweaked. And I think there was one doctrine that he needed to be brought up to snuff on. And you know what? He was willing to be taught. And because of that, did you read that closing verse, verse 28? From that time on, he was already being used, but he was able to be used in an even more spectacular way. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And so even though we had a young man that was unusually gifted and knew his Bible and had been under the instruction, the tutelage of someone, his education was incomplete. And you know what? They first of all accepted him. And then they taught him. And then it says in verse 27, they recommended him, wrote a letter of recommendation. And then they turned him loose to do even a greater thing for the Lord than he'd been doing. Now, all across this church, and I don't usually, you know, it's nice on Wednesday night because I got my Sunday school teachers in here. I need to say thank you to you. You know what you're doing? You're doing exactly what Aquila and Priscilla was doing. You're helping us to disciple young people to maturity and a full understanding of Scripture. Thank God for our master's club program. You know what you're doing? The exact same thing. Our Christian school, I tell everybody, it's the top of the pyramid. It's our highest level discipleship program. Those that are working in the school, thank you for taking the time, extended time, to take the core kids from Blessed Hope Baptist Church and those bus kids that have earned the right to be there and disciple them more perfectly, preparing them so that they can impact the world for the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that they wouldn't have been able to if we hadn't have brought them along. And so thank God for a couple that was grounded in the scriptures and wise enough and selfless enough to disciple others. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hebrews chapter 5, would you go over there? I want you to look at this. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to stop here just a minute because I want you to see this scripture, because this scripture, God has brought it into my life about 5 times in the last 5 weeks. And when God is doing that in an unrelated way, I think God wants me to deal with this portion of scripture with our church. And it ties right into this. It ties right into it. It's not a sermon within a sermon, but listen to me as I help all of us. In Hebrews chapter number, where am I at? Chapter 5 and verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Now, let's stop there. Let's not just rush by it. You know, the writer of Hebrews is saying, boy, there's a lot of other things that I really need to teach you, and a lot of things that honestly y'all ought to already know, but you're behind the learning curve. I can't get into the advanced stuff. And the reason is, he gives it right there. He gives a Bible reason, because you are dull of hearing. Okay, which means, watch this, they had to be there to hear. It wasn't that they weren't showing up. I'm talking about my Wednesday night crowd. Some of you are here, but the honest truth is you checked out 30 minutes ago. I mean, your mind's been here and here and here and here and here and here. And you know what? I'm sorry, it's true. You're dull of hearing. You've been to church so much, you stopped listening at some point. When you stop listening, you stop learning. When you stop learning, you stop advancing. And when you stop learning, you know what else you necessitate for a teacher to do? The next verse. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you, what's the next word? Again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We got to go back to the basic first principles and cover them again and cover them again and cover them again and cover them again. Okay? And are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Folks, I'm not here to fix anything, but you need to hear your preacher say this. I'm sorry, but if you've been saved 20, 30 years, and I'm still having to deal with kindergarten or junior high stuff in your life, honestly, that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Some of you have been saved long enough, you should be well equipped to be able to take a class and not only in it, be able to teach the milk of the word, but be able to, you know, crank up the grill and let's get some meat grilled, let's eat some meat. Okay? And I think, where does it start? Here's the thought: dull of hearing. I've heard this before. Okay, great. Can I stop you right there? You've heard it before. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Okay? I want to show you something very important. Watch this, verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those, this is important. I know it's worded a little differently. Don't try to change the King James Bible. Let's just get our intellect up to its level, okay? Even those who by reason of use, now we're talking about the full age, them that are full age, comma, now we're going to describe, how do we know a mature Christian? Even those who by reason of use have both senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, okay? You can give me every right answer to every Bible question because you've been in it that long. You know it, but you don't use it. Okay, by reason of use. Okay, you know how you, listen, Brother Chad, I could sit in a class and I could watch 75 YouTube videos on how to run an excavator and still not know how to run an excavator. I'm not going to know how to run an excavator until I get in the seat of the excavator. And then I'll become proficient by reason of use. Oh, he's preaching on giving again. Try it. I mean, are you mature in that area by reason of use? You have a track record for that? I mean, have you, you know what I'm talking about here? I mean, 20 years and you don't tithe? I mean, okay. And I, you know, why do I have to keep coming back to our church, our core group, and teach on tithing again? I mean, honestly, why? Because not everybody here, and most of you have been saved a long time, tithe. Why do I need to teach on bringing an offering with your tithe? Why? I'm asking you, why? And so what we get in this vicious cycle where we can't ever get past elementary school. And I think at a church like this, folks, listen, church, it's an interesting study. You know, Brother Jonathan Reiser's down there dealing with a church that's not even a year old. I have expectations of what I'm going to find when I walk in there. I'm not shocked by things. Matter of fact, I'm pretty astounded at how many good folks they have and how much they've advanced. 44 years here. Next May, we're going to celebrate 45th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I should not be warming bottles and trying to find somebody's passy to stick it back in to keep you from crying. I shouldn't be doing that. Okay? You shouldn't be still. Come on, Linus, give up the blankie. Okay? And this couple became a valuable asset to the work of God. You know why? It's interesting. I didn't read the whole story here, but see, they loved Paul. And Paul took them and started the church in Ephesus. Then Paul says, I got to go. And they specifically said, we want to go with you. And he said, no, you're staying here. And he left them there. And he could leave them there. And he could be somewhere else and leave them there. And Apollos shows up, and it's not Paul that's needed to fix Apollos. Okay? Somebody that listened. Somebody that got it. Somebody that grounded themselves in the Word. Somebody that said, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and still be fighting this kindergarten level junk. I mean, folks, look, I'm talking my Wednesday night crowd. I need to plug people into places right now. And some of you, I can't because you won't give up this silly idea of I'm not going to dress a certain way. And I got positions right now, but I'm not going to lower my standards, okay, to make you happy. You've been here too long. Okay, get mad if you want to get mad, but you've been here too long not to know the what and the whys of what the Bible says about this. Okay? And, you know, hey, I'm not going to live your life. Okay? Okay? I mean, I can stand your living if you can stand my preaching. I mean, you know. Okay? But you think about that. 45 years. This church should not be down here on the learn curve. This church shouldn't be accomplishing what I... Listen, how far you want me to go? If there's a church that I could point to that's only been in existence for 5 years and they're outperforming us and outworking us and out-separating us, what's wrong? Oh, I know. We just need to get a different pastor. Well, maybe we need to just look at the scriptures here and say that I do not and should not still have to be dealing with things where I can't get you past this because you're just stubborn. And you ain't going to change. And I don't care what he said. By the way, have a party. But it's the work of God that suffers. Okay? And so open your heart to these things and let the, by reason of use. Well, I don't know if I believe it. Why don't you just do it? Okay? I don't even know if I agree. Why don't you just do it? And then by reason of use, I think you're going to find that your understanding is brought to maturity. Okay? Just obey the Bible. Number four, I like this. Go to Romans 16. I like this next little verse. Wonderful. Aquila and Priscilla, quite the couple, aren't they? And it says in verse number 3, Aquila and Priscilla. Romans chapter 16, verse 3. I love this. I love this. Boy, the Bible's rich on this. Would you believe there was this much about this couple in the Bible? Greet Priscilla and Aquila. My, what's the next word? Don't you love that? Don't you love that? They couldn't be an Apostle Paul. They didn't try to be an Apostle Paul. But you know what they said? I can help an Apostle Paul. I can be a helper. I love the simplicity of that word. Okay? There's no title attached to it. There's no pedigree. Their name's not in the bulletin. If somebody asked them, well, what do you do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Or with the Apostle Paul? They'd say, oh, we help. We just help. Help. Being helpers in the work of God. Again, let me challenge our church. Are you okay? Let me challenge our church. Come to church with a helping attitude and a helping spirit. Greet. Okay, now I'm going to really challenge you. How many believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? How many believes I did not sneak in your home last night and change any words in your Bible? All right, thank you. Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. What's the next word? Of course, he would have been accused of being a narcissist. He would have been accused of being a dictator. He would have been accused of just gathering people together in a cult-like fashion to follow him. That's what he'd be accused of. We can't even hardly, Brother Townsley, touch the subject of pastoral authority and the idea of being loyal to a pastor without a bunch of heathens grabbing stones and start chucking them. But let the heathen rage and the wicked imagine a vain thing. You know what? God tied their heart to this man of God. Can I say it again? God tied their heart to this man of God. He tied their heart to him. And you know what? He didn't try to over-spiritualize it. Greet Aquila and Priscilla, who are my help. Let me not say my, because ultimately we all are God's helpers. He didn't do that. He said, you know what? When I show up, they help me. They are a help to me. Okay? I ask you, are you on your pastor's missionary team? Are you on the missions team here? Are you part of the missionary team? Can I ask you an honest question? Are you your pastor's helper? Are you your pastor's helper? Okay? Now answer that honestly in your heart. You and your wife together, what you say, what you do, the spirit you bring, the activities you're involved, are you your pastor's helper? Say, preacher, do you need help? I do. I need help. We're going to review a little bit. I need help reaching the lost. I need help reaching the lost. Are you helping reach the lost? I need help to disciple. We're reviewing, disciple and encouraging new converts. I need a lot more of you growing up a little quicker so I can plug you into key places so we can keep this thing going. I need you to do it. I need you to help me keep a positive and productive spirit in the church. Okay, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Life and death. By the way, that's not just talking about killing somebody. You can kill a church. Are you helping me by your attitude, your demeanor, your countenance, what you say? Are you helping to keep a positive and productive spirit in the church? You can help me. Let me say this. You can help me by protecting me. You can help me by protecting me. And you know what? The Aquila and Priscillas of the world protect the man of God. You say, where do you get that? Did you look at the next verse? Did you look at it? Now, if you had a problem with one word, my, you're going to die here. You're checking out. Because what does it say? How did he help them? Who have for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm not trying to steal anything from the Lord. I'm just trying to take a shot at a few Pharisees that need to stop using God as a reason to be disloyal to a pastor or to undermine what's happening in the church. Well, yeah, but God, no. They didn't have anything to do with God. Okay? And so here we go. Watch this. Who hath for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He didn't just benefit Paul, Paul said, not only when they were willing to lay down their life to spare mine, they didn't just benefit me, but they allowed my life to continue in every church that was started after, and every soul that was saved after that is going to go, some of that's going to their account. Say, preacher, is there anywhere in the Bible where we see where this happened? I'm going to show you something real quick, if you'll let me. We've got a little time here. We were back there in Acts chapter 18. Didn't he tell them, listen, they got saved in Corinth. They went with him to Ephesus to start the church in Ephesus. Paul leaves Ephesus and goes and does some more missions work. And then he's traveling back through, and he gets back to Ephesus in chapter number 19. And let's scan it. Paul at Ephesus, you've got a Scofield Bible. Paul at Ephesus, the disciples of John become Christians. Paul in the synagogue at Ephesus in the school of Tyrannus. And then miracles by Paul. And then what do we see in verse 23? The uproar of the silversmiths of Ephesus. And Paul's seeing so many people saved and so many of them are throwing their idols away that it's affecting the craftsmen that are making idols out of silver. I mean, they're filling. You know what I'd like? I'd like to see so many people saved in this county that the saloon owners are screaming and hollering and ready to riot. We got to do something about that church. Everybody's giving up their booze. I mean, I'd love for the sheriffs to come in and say, we don't have anything to do. All the meth heads are right with God, and now they're tithing and serving the Lord. I mean, we're supposed to be turning this world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's good. And so they're mad about it. But let me just show you without the whole story. Verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia. Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And look at verse 30. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. Certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent him, desiring him that he would not venture himself into the theater. They were wound up. Have you ever been around? Listen, I mean this. If you've never been and with your eyes saw a mob mentality, I'm talking about people off the hook. I'm talking about gone over the edge. And a group of people, there's not too many things that are more scary than that. I've seen it in Chicago. Not in large quantities like we're probably talking about a whole city, but I've just seen it in small measure. And once they cross a certain threshold, they really go into insanity. And you know what? They were so hyped up that they were going to solve this thing and they're going to find the people. And who they were really looking for was Paul. And you know what? Paul said, listen, they've got two of my companions. And you know what? I appreciate that. That's exactly how I would feel. Right. We didn't find Paul, but these two were with him, and they drag him into the theater. And Paul's like, they ain't doing that. But you know what? The other disciples know, you walk in there, they will tear you apart. They will kill you, and we're not going to let it happen. The Bible says the disciples would not let him do it. Now, if Paul is wired a little bit like me, then that means that I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't grab him. And hold him and listen to him scream and call him a few things. And you got to let me, unless we are not going to let you go in there, because they will kill you, Paul. This isn't a joke. This isn't a game. It's not time for bravado. God's got something more for you. You stay here and let God do it. Let God work it out. And I don't know if this is the instance he was thinking about, but I can almost see Aquila having one of his arms. Tears run down his face. No, preacher, I'm not letting you. You know I'm loyal and you know I always obey, but I'm not letting you do this. I'm not letting you go there. And I think that Paul was mad at him for a long time. And then I think that tears welled in his eyes. Why would anybody love me that much? He said, you know what? They put, maybe Aquila, say, but it says that they laid their own life down. Maybe Aquila did this. No. Well, someone's got it. Then I'll go. I'll go. You're staying. Everybody, he stays. I'll go. I don't know. All I know is Paul said, hey, they laid their lives down. And you know what little sister Aquila, no, Priscilla said? Okay, in your case, Sister Puke, you know what she said? She said, honey, everything we've done together. You're going in there, I'm going in there with you. It says they laid down their lives. Right. Now, do I think that should have happened? No. But something tells me Aquila was the kind of woman that I don't think, Priscilla was the kind of woman, I'm getting them mixed up. Priscilla was the kind of woman that when she made up her mind, I don't think he had any choice. He just said, I'm not watching you talk, I'm going to go in there. Honey, then I'll be worried about protecting you. I'll scratch their eyes out, I will. Don't mess with the wrong woman. I don't know when it happened. Did it happen here? I don't know. Did it happen? Yes. They put the two of them, maybe more than one time, laid down their life. I went back and I read the story. We don't have time for it, but oh, David, when he was young, he took Goliath on and killed him. Later on, the four brothers came looking for David. One of them got David into a sword fight and would have killed him. Sorry, he's not the young man he used to be. But you know what? He had a nephew. By the way, I wish you could have watched it. Maybe I'll show it. John Ross just had his first youth rally where he tried to get a bunch of lost kids. I wonder where he learned that. Tried to get a bunch of lost kids in. And he's playing crazy. And so he, you know, everything's videotaped now or pictures. And so he sends me this video clips of this youth rally. He's running in the gymnasium. Saw a bunch of kids saved. And I mean, just having a blast. You know what I thought? My nephew's out there still fighting giants. I got a nephew there. He's fighting the giants. Okay. Now, by the way, I'm not looking for a park bench yet. And I probably could still whip more giants than this whole row put together. So I'm not looking for the retirement farm yet. But it's sure nice to know that when you've spent your life at war with the devil, that when you get a little older and a little slower, and excuse me, folks, you deal with the same frailties that any other person that deals with age deal. That every once in a while there's just some young men that says, we got this, preacher. I know you could. I mean, you don't have anything to prove. You've got Goliath's sword in your tent. Okay, you got his sword. You don't have anything to prove. But don't you think you ought to give us a shot now? I guess. And down deep he's going, thank God. And a bunch of young men. He killed one giant, Chad. And a bunch of young men said, we'll take this. We got this, preacher. We got this, King David. We got it. You know, and you know what they did? They protected him. Well, this is a good couple, isn't it? There's a couple more things we could say, but it's getting late, and I want to get you out at a decent time. Thank you for being faithful. Look at this Wednesday night crowd. Would you look around? I'm beginning to wonder if my Wednesday night crowd isn't bigger than my Sunday morning crowd. I'm beginning to wonder about that. You know, maybe we got everything backwards. I don't know. Isn't God good? Oh, it's fun serving the Lord. Oh, man. I wish I was young again. I just wish I wasn't as stupid as I was when I was young. Man. Guys, don't miss an opportunity to use the strength of your youth to serve the Lord. Man alive, I know. You guys have got so much energy, you're dangerous. Turn it loose for God and against the devil, man. Okay? Just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And it's fun. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for Aquila and Priscilla. Can't wait to meet them. Hug their necks in heaven one day. Sit down and tell me your best Paul stories. What really happened in Ephesus there? Come on, it's in the Bible. You can't deny it. One time or another, Aquila, you stuck your neck out. Tell me the story. I just want to spend my life serving the Lord. God, help me to keep doing it. Give me the strength to do it. Lord, I want to pass something to these young men, pass something to these young people and these young couples. I want to pass something that my daddy passed to me and his generation passed down. I don't want to drop it, and I don't want it to get lost. And Lord, in every generation, there's got to be those Aquila and Priscilla couples that say, you know what, we're not getting involved in the drama and the stupid. We're not staying elementary level. We're gonna step up. We're gonna stand up. We're gonna do right. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would raise up the next generation. 44 years, 45 next May. 45 years. Lord, if you tarry, give me some health. Lord, I think I'll be able to get it at least to the 50. But who's going to take it on? If you tarry, who's going to be here? And what will this church be when it's 60 years old and 70 years old and 75 years old? Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd touch the hearts of some young wives and some young husbands, and they would just say, you know what? We're not half doing this. We're not playing around. We're going to dedicate ourselves. We're going to get serious about growing in the Lord. We're going to listen. We're not going to be dull of hearing. Some of the stuff we've been nickel diming and playing around with, it's time to stop that. Let's get ready. Let's make a difference. Lord, bless this church. It's an honor. Every day of my life, I'm humbled to be able to pastor this church. But Lord, I can't help but have a preacher's concern and a shepherd's heart. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Help some things to be broken through and broken down. Help some things to be given up and surrendered. Help some pride to be laid aside and some humility in its place. And Lord, may we become teachable and usable. Pray these things in Jesus' name.